These were the good old days, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
These were the days.
Chicks for Dad production.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Right. I do remember going out to L.A. and
the Knickers.
Oh, that's not this band? Oh, that's the other band. I thought this was the PLs, no?
No. No.
Guess not.
Thanks for making my editing easy.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right, baby.
To start it now. Okay, here we go.
I did want to mention, this is part three, I guess, is going to be probably. I did finally get a hold of Bortz's book, I forget what it's called. Anyway, it's okay. Bortz. Somebody's got to say it. And it's okay. The book, though, that I am reading right now is by Richard Dawkins, because I told you last week that I read Christopher Hitchens, who's my totally new favorite writer, and I read listened to his book unabridged. But now I'm reading Richard Dawkins, The God Delusion, and definitely a yellow liner. I like that. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the Senate fails on habeas corpus.
Captain, may I have a word with you?
No.
It's an emergency, sir.
Come back when it's a catastrophe.
I love that guy. Oh my God! By the way, you can take it home if you want. And they have in there apparently some outtakes deleted scenes. Can you imagine deleted scenes?
Who single-handedly defeated the retiree people of the assisted living nebula, Zap Brannigan.
Yeah. And how did he do it?
I don't know.
Hey, did you guys ever see
wave after wave of those men?
Yeah. While we're in a digression here, did you guys see the Simpsons movie or no?
I haven't seen it.
I did. We talked about it.
I mean, we saw it, but they did. But I don't know that we
still haven't. Yeah. No, I gotta go.
I need to get whipped. Yeah. Today, the U.S. Senate fell 4 votes short of restoring habeas corpus, the fundamental constitutional right of individuals to challenge government detention, which Republican Congress revoked in last year's Military Commissions Act. So, what's the story on this? I didn't realize that
they took it away.
They took it away. Yeah.
After a mere 600 years of habeas corpus.
Yeah, right. Since Magna Carta.
Even before that, that was like one
Magna
of the
Magna Carta.
Yeah, they had it back.
Charger.
Yeah. They had it back before that, and it's one of the fundamentals, and the Senate dropped the ball and kicked it around in the end zone.
But, I mean, there were 44 senators who said, no habeas corpus for us. You know, you get detained to tough toogies, you know.
Can't even challenge your detention in court. Forget about winning. You can't even bring it up. You're being detained. Too bad.
Okay, well, again, another brick in the wall here, folks.
As I said, people, if they can do
no education,
if they can detain you indefinitely before your trial, who would ever bring a trial? I mean, if I was state attorney, I wouldn't bring anything
trial.
Hell no.
You don't get no trial.
I keep whoever I want.
We don't need no stinking badges.
Exactly. For however long I want. I want to mention a couple of.
I was just going to say that there is. I think it's on. On one of my favorite websites here, and
BigJugs.com?
No. God, okay, Lou Rockwell. LouRockwell.com.
L-E-W Rockwell.
No, yeah, L-E-W-Rockwell.com. Right. Anyway, there was, I believe, an essay about Ron Paul. It wasn't on Ron. It wasn't by him, but it was titled, "We Are Not Yet Living in a Total Police State." And it's quite a good, a little, it's a one-pager, and it's quite good. But basically, we're headed for omnipotent government, and it's a step at a time. Again, we're seeing it in slow-mo here in the States, but we're getting to see it in fast-mo.
Let me give you a few examples of some recent arrests that have happened, which should highlight the abilities of the police these days and just what's common. And here are one we have sent in from Curtis, actually, North Carolina, Fairview, North Carolina. The obstruction of sidewalk case, you might have seen this. Kid hung a banner over the interstate, said, "Impeach Bush Cheney now." And before too long, he was approached and arrested. And they charged him with obstruction of sidewalk.
How high in the air was this?
Well, it was like one of those bridges over the interstate.
Right, okay.
And it was as you know, there's a little sidewalk.
Right.
That because the cars go on the road, and then there's a sidewalk where the pedestrians. So he'd walked on this sidewalk, hung this big old banner across the interstate.
Right. And this is a 5-foot by 2-foot banner, not exactly big old.
But still, 5 foot by two, right. readable by cars passing under the thing.
Right.
Right.
Somebody decided they didn't like that. They went up there and busted his butt.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's happened to him yet. But there's an arrest of just a normal person just exercising his free speech rights.
Yeah.
And he gets bagged and tagged. And
bagged and tagged.
That's an official legal term.
Yeah, I know.
And then they were saying stuff like, well, your sign could have distracted drivers.
Right. You know? Yeah, the billboards don't.
Just right. Yeah. Forget about all those billboards.
Not the flashing signs. Not the, like, well, here on I-75 is We Bear All.
Right. You know,
with naked ladies. Oh, I'm sorry, but your Bush Cheney sign is the distraction.
Right. Here's another one we saw recently. Salty burger leads to arrest.
Woman
at McDonald's put too much salt on the police officer's burger. He came back and arrested her
after he ate the whole thing.
This is like Wiggum's.
No, this is really awful.
This is what Wiggum's would have done.
Yeah, exactly.
A little salty.
Yeah, no, but I mean, you'd figure after the first, I'd say half. Anyway, that there was something.
This is like the woman who burnt.
We arrest them and beat them to the full extent of the law.
Guilty until proven guilty. That's what until proven guilty.
It's like the woman that spilled the McDonald's hot coffee.
Oh, that's so old, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying it'd be like her spilling it once and then go ahead and spill the rest of it on her and then sue.
Right.
This guy took a bite.
Yeah, there you go. Why? Do you think that there's some kind of a theme running through these? Do you think there's a theme that runs through this?
Well, now we're selling tasers for just $1,000 on our website. So.
Autographed.
That's right.
They recently arrested a poker standout. You might have seen this. One of the guys who's winning a lot of poker tournament stuff.
What's his name?
I can't remember his name.
Oh, we got.
I had this on. I
like that.
We didn't talk about this last time.
No. He's having. It's tens of thousands of dollars in the game and such. But still.
No, it was a big game. It was in a back room, probably invitational. The guy's a recognized world poker champ.
I would need to find out.
And of course, what happened was they got him on gambling. And of course, the funny part of it is, as somebody once said, you know, is it gambling? Is poker gambling? He says, well, not when I'm playing it. but the simple fact is. The simple fact is that you have a poker champ indicates that it is a game of skill. So, I mean, it can't be gambling. You know, you don't find a roulette champ the simple fact is that, you know, you don't find a keno champ. You don't even find a lotto champ. You find a
lotto champ.
Yeah, no, sorry, you don't. You
can, psychic you, wins lottery.
No, yeah,
for
no,
the 15th
I don't think so.
Time.
No, I would say that if you won the lottery, you know, half a dozen times, okay, I could begin to guess that.
You're the one who's drawing the numbers.
Yeah, at the very minimum. You're putting them in there with glue on that. No, the thing is that when you have a poker champ, it's automatically a game of skill. So how do you get somebody on? Except, once again, the only way government can compete is to outlaw the competition. And they rename it. They rename poker gambling, and it's not.
Yeah,
and I think they see $70,000 too,
and they take the name gambling off of the lotto, which it obviously is.
Oh, it's and not only that, it is the worst kind of gambling. When you realize
the poorest people,
and no, seriously,
with the worst odds,
let me tell you this: black white roulette has better odds than the lotto. Seriously, that is a 50-50 shot. And I'll tell you the way,
the mafia don would blush.
Oh, blush at odds like this. Now, and when you think about it, who does the lotto appeal to? Unless you have, we're talking several standard deviations to the left of normal in IQ. Yeah. No, I mean, we're talking about people who really should not be allowed to vote or even, you know, they're, let me put it this way. They're the ones that are FCAT 1 people that can't read.
If anybody should be kept from gambling, it's them.
Exactly. The people that do the gambling should be kept from it more than anybody. The only time I've ever seen smart people, and I count myself in this, that ever does it is as a joke. Literally, I mean, how many times have I handed out?
Or you buy 50 tickets for a birthday present.
There's no question. And you say, and I've done this where I've handed somebody a lottery ticket and said, here's your $3 million. Don't ask me for any more.
Right.
And, you know, if you have as good a chance.
And of course, the lotto is under investigation now for where they're spending the money.
Yeah, that's another thing. Right. Duh.
Well, they're spending it on the children.
On the children. They say they are. Turns out that there's a little siphoning going on.
What?
Yeah,
no.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe.
And of course, now you've got the programs out called The Curse of the Lotto. When you give somebody who's never had anything $50 million,
oh, yeah.
it destroys their life. I mean,
think YouTube.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, no, yeah. You think no. They've had some real horror stories when you look at it. I mean, this is not My Name Is Earl. I mean, this is way different. They have chronicled several of these people. When you figure, I would like to do a statistical analysis to find out of the people that have won the lottery, how many of them are poor, and I'll bet you it's like way over half. I mean, it's got to be like,
and they're poor now.
And they're poor now. Yeah. No, exactly. No, yeah. we had here literally. Oh. The worst trailer trash in the world won one of the big ones here locally.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
And
then
bought, you know, $1 million house. And literally within 18 months, everybody was in jail or broke.
Or both.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's exactly. So, I guess that's the trickle down. That's called trickle down economics. I guess what it is.
I guess.
But it is stunning when you feel that the odds of a poor person winning the lottery are way more than anybody with a, I would say above an 80 IQ of those people.
Not going to win
because they're not going to bet on it.
Yeah, you say.
I'm serious. They have learned. Let me tell you, when here in Florida especially, ask yourself how many different lotto games show up every week.
They have a new one
every
couple months.
Keep changing them because you can fool some of the people all the time. And here we got a new game. Instead of little gremlins, we've got gremlinettes.
Right.
You know, and I'm telling you, I think that Jack Rhodes probably, is, as always, has the right idea. And that they ought to put naked, full frontal naked women on there, and
you scratch off, maybe
scratch off,
yeah,
exactly.
Clothes off.
No, there's no
scratch
question.
And sniff.
Scratch it. Let me tell you want to sell a lot of lottery tickets, you could have no payoff. You could have no payoff. Trust me, and you would sell every ticket you could put out there with a full frontal naked scratch and sniff.
That's and right. My That's final it. Example of the coming police state here is. That they are starting to arrest parents for children being truant to school.
Yes, and let me tell you, it's even worse than that. The classic case of this, it was out, I believe, in Nevada, and this was the Mr. Singer thing. His name was either Singer or Sanger, and he refused to send his kids to school, and they were truant. So they literally, his mailbox, it turned out, was on the road. He lived on, 5 acres or something. And he basically, every time they came to take his kids, he said, you come on my property, you risk death or whatever. He'd show up with a shotgun at the front door or something. So, they hid out, just like Bonnie and Clyde or whatever. They hid out across the street in the bushes. When he came out to get his mail, they tried to arrest him. He ran back towards the house to get his gun, or he had a gun with him, and they killed him. They shot him dead. And basically, this was for not sending his kids.
There's some education for you.
This is a classic case. And of course, it's anecdotal, yada, yada, yada. But as you just mentioned, it turns out that here in Florida, the penalty for not sending your kids to school is you go to get jail in shackles and your kids go to DCF.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what happens. I mean, there's no doubt about it. That's what happened.
It's literally happening right now.
Yeah, literally happening right now. And of course, what they do is they send them, it's not like they give them a voucher for a private school. They send them to one of our little institutions here, indoctrination institution, our government run indoctrination institution. And they can't understand why there is a 60% failure rate in reading. At the 10th grade. And what's fascinating, I think I might have mentioned this previously, and that is when they test the kids at the third grade, the only 30% read below grade level. So instead of improving, they actually double the failure rate here in Alachua County, Florida. And actually, it turns out I read the total for the whole state. We are right at the exact average for the state as far as what money we spend on students and the failure rate across the board. And I mean, I don't see how these people sleep at night. I don't see how the school boards. Mark Twain once said, first God invented idiots for practice, and then he invented school boards. I mean, that was, 100 years ago is what he said.
Well, all I can say is I guess we need to have more exchange student programs with Venezuela or something.
Yeah, exactly. You'd probably be better off. Yeah, exactly. I think you might be better off.
Ale.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, the next thing I have on here, of course, has to do, again, with one of the rules is, the greatest enemy of capitalism, believe it or not, are capitalists. Not Hugo, but capitalists. It is all too often, as soon as somebody gets a few bucks, the next thing they do is they start to run to the government for protection. In turnaround, industries seek U.S. regulation. After years of favoring the hands-off doctrine, which is a joke, of course, of the Bush administration, some of the nation's biggest industries are pushing for something they have long resisted, new federal regulations. The consequences for consumers are not yet clear. And, of course, I can tell you what the consequence is going to be. It's called price increases with less competition. I know that for a fact. The tactical shift by industry groups is motivated by a confluence of self-interest. Duh. Self-interest is genetic. Growing competition from inexpensive imports that do not meet voluntary standards and a desire to head off liability lawsuits, tough state laws or legal actions that are in response to, and I love this, a laissez-faire Bush administration policies. I mean, you know, if you
oxymoron there. I mean,
if you got laissez-faire now, boy, you guys have no clue. Concerns that Democrats could soon expand their control in Washington have also prompted manufacturers or producers to seek regulations that they consider the least burdensome, regulatory experts say. In other words, it's better to have the devil that you know rather than the one that you don't know. Anyway, this whole thing, again, is quite simple. Here are some people that have got big businesses, they got a market, they want to keep the Chinese out. And this is one way to do it. So we'll say they don't meet our standards, and they use the anecdotal evidence of the spinach poisonings. What was the other things? There were a couple of lead paint, right, on the toys and so forth. And of course, they always say the ultimate goal is regulation that protects the public. Well, duh, no, it protects them. I'm sorry. And what they want to do is here's what they want to do. No lawyers can sue us. Don't want to have any competition from China, so we want to be able to keep our prices up. That's their goal. And they're screaming, they're whining to the government to get to do their job for them. And I mean, it is a cabal of people. And of course, the government's only too willing when you ask the government to take power. Or what are they going to say? Oh, no. Yeah. No, of course.
No, not today.
No, I mean, the ATV industry is one in particular that is begging for some regulation because some of the Chinese ATVs turn over just a tad faster than the local ones. And I mean, and of course, they bring out the old thing, a level playing field. If I hear that, every time I hear level playing field, I've always said, I don't want a level playing field.
It's the exact opposite.
They've already, antifreeze, apparently they've already enacted laws in a couple of states that antifreeze has to have some kind of distasteful something, and so people won't drink it. I'm telling you, people, this is Darwinian, okay? You want to drink antifreeze and die? Fine.
Go for it, baby.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. I mean, it is, you know, we already have, as you know, I don't know if you know this, but natural gas has to have a thing in it so you can smell it. I didn't realize that it was odorless before because I've always been able to smell it. It smells good, too. Get high. So
here's a Darwin Award winner. Did you see that net gambler that died?
Yes.
Yeah.
This was one in China or the one locally?
The one in China.
I didn't see this. What is it?
He played
World of Warcraft Chinese version or something.
Okay.
World of Malcraft or something.
He did it for 72 hours and died of exhaustion.
86 hours.
86 hours straight.
Do I hear 89? 89.
That's right. And died. Can you imagine? I mean, wow. And of course, what they're saying now, it even gets better. The government wants to have one death out of 1.3 billion people. Okay. So now they want to pass a regulation that the games will automatically like stop after 3 hours and you can't play it. And what they're saying is, well, you're going to get blood clots in your legs or you're going to die or diabetes. I don't know, who knows what, but they're going to put in mandatory limits. I mean, can you imagine? It's a goddamn game, you know? And I mean, these are people, what I love these are people that have no life. I mean, these are people that are dead already. They have no life.
Fellow board members, we have a problem. Somebody in the World of Warcraft is ignoring the world's rules and is going around killing innocent players.
Why kill innocent players? The game is about finishing quests.
We've got to delete him from the servers.
We can't. Whoever this player is, he's played World of Warcraft so much that he has reached a level we thought unreachable. He's actually able to kill our admins. And he grows stronger every day.
Jesus. I've got to get home. My kids are playing World of Warcraft right now.
Jim, your kids' characters are already dead.
No. No. They just started playing! What kind of person would do this?
Only one kind. Whoever this person is, he has played World of Warcraft nearly every hour of every day for the past year and a half. Gentlemen, we are dealing with someone here who has absolutely no life.
How do you kill that which has no life?
If they're dead, how do you tell?
And if you get a chance, if you get a chance, make sure you see the South Park one on the war against the World of Warcraft.
Oh, whatever, God.
The end
oh,
of the
yeah.
World of Warcraft. Yeah.
Oh, God.
But it's for the children.
So it's okay. Well, again,
and it's going to go to the children. Then now they're going to, you know, Nintendo, PlayStation, all that. They're going to start.
Well, they had of course, that's well, this, they had ahead. The thing about now the violence in the games. There are a couple of them that they said.
Well, how about the guy who just sold his online game character for $10,000?
Yeah, I mean this the
$10,000.
eBay apparently has said you can't.
Yeah, eBay said you can't. I don't understand what's up. They're trying to comply with
the games rules.
But it turns out that in China it's like $1 billion
in
industry.
Korea,
people
yeah.
swapping virtual money for real money.
Yeah, no, I
love it
exactly.
But I love this. To continue along the same line about toys and kids and everything, need for regulation, especially our children's toys. This is a New York Times editorial. I love this. Mandatory testing and uniform standards are both good ideas, but the proposal that they want to do about protecting it still falls short of what is needed to guarantee children's safety. And of course, as we all know, nothing guarantees anything. What I love this is, unless the rules are, this is the New York Times saying, unless the rules are backed up with vigorous enforcement, the government's imprimatur could give parents a mistaken sense of security. And, of course, my thinking is, even if they have the most vigorous enforcement, you know, SWAT teams show up to protect you, or whatever, and they still have a mistaken sense of security.
Still.
I mean, the fact is, yeah, exactly. And, of course, for this to happen, the commission needs resources, read money. And, of course, the end of the last sentence again in the New York Times, these guys should be called Pravda. I mean, this is a government mouthpiece. America toy makers must be truly regulated by well-financed, powerful government agency. Oh, shit. I mean,
death on a stake.
The point is, this is the fourth estate. These people are supposed to be calling the government to task on things. Instead, they're in bed with these guys. These are foot tapping within the stall, for God's sake.
Well, there was an Oklahoma judge that struck down a violent video game law.
He said it was okay. Right. He said this was free speech as far as he was concerned.
Go Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's right.
Game. And speaking of foot tapping, did you see that Senator Craig's stall has now become a tourist attraction?
What happens is, it turns out that like a lot of ladies are going in there to look at.
It turns out.
It's a tourist attraction. It's a family event. You know, while we're up here at the
Minnesota Airport,
we've just been to the worldwide. What is it called? The American Mall.
Right.
And you know, the biggest mall. And our next tourist attraction, our next stop on the tour bus is the stall.
Minnesota Airport.
Oh my God.
Well, and I wanted to say this. I said for sure, and I'm still convinced Senator Craig is totally guilty. But I wanted to say, which I forgot to mention last time, that I think he should be able to do this. Whatever he was doing, go for it. You know, if he wants to solicit sex in a public restroom, knock yourself out, you know?
So to speak.
Well, the ACLU's right. Backing him.
Backing him?
Well, they're always good. They're backing him.
Yeah. Back this.
Back, I'm bombing you.
Oh, that's I forgot. There are two more real quick arrest scenarios here that happened. Another kid in school was arrested because he had a Swiss Army knife in the console of his car.
Yeah, I want to ask you about this because guilty. This brings up a couple of things that I wanted. This was, this was in Georgia up here in Cobb County. And this guy named Chandler or something like that. Now, this was in the console of his car, they found this.
Right.
So I want to know, where was the probable cause on searching the car?
Oh, they don't need any probable cause. This is school grounds. They can search whatever they want on school grounds.
Well, now I want to ask, of course, over here we have, you know, here at GHS, of course, about half the kids park on the public street.
Yeah, they might get away with
what,
that.
At GHS?
Yeah.
Maybe on the side street, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, but not in the front. Yeah, okay.
They might get away with it along back there on 14th or whatever, they all park along there. But, I mean, that's a public street. Can they just go down there and search that car, too?
I don't think so. You might get away with it off of school grounds there.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, that was me.
That's good.
That's pretty cool.
Engineers going, what happened? Is it where? What happened?
And speaking of school stuff, I got to mention this. The zero tolerance policy has gotten so bad that now... there's a teen that wants to hold a flower in her yearbook picture, and they have decided to ban her from holding the flower because they call it a prop.
It's a prop.
And mm-hmm. and in order to ban the other props they don't want in there, like guns and knives or whatever.
Right. Dildos.
Ooh, let's go to that school.
Yeah, that's right. And they've already banned hats. That was the first thing they said. Any hat, they're not allowed
God.
So they anyway, yeah. But what we're going to do? Aren't we going to do the original Jimmy Dome?
We are going to post this for our listeners, God, you have got to see.
Yes, we're not going to tell you what it is.
Not going to tell you what it is.
But you have to go to the Jimmy Doan website and see Jimmy's actual yearbook picture.
Yeah, this is not
high school.
The high school
yearbook.
Class of
talk
whatever.
About
not
a prop.
Yeah, no, this is
I haven't even seen this.
No, you will not believe. And let me put it this way. Do you think? Here's the deal. You can call 1-866-95-JIMMY. And I really, by the way, I want to thank everybody that did call
in. Absolutely.
We had like, I don't know, 15 people that called in. And I love Brian's, I mean, Graham's especially. The Scottish one was
Graham. Oh, my God. Jimmy dude.
Yeah. He was so funny. Anyway, so you can call in at 866-95-JIMMY and tell us what you think about this prop. The thing about it is this. A rose today... Mm-hmm. Compared to what you will see
on the website.
And ask yourself, would this picture get into any yearbook in the United States? I'm talking about any yearbook.
Let's put it this way. Jimmy may still be liable for this picture.
Oh, yeah. Is there a statute of limitations?
No.
You might get a phone call.
Seriously.
This is the actual picture.
Now, we say picture. It was really a stone carving because back then they didn't have.
Shut up. It was a lithograph, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It is black and white because that's true. It didn't want any color. But speaking of students, of course, did you see the one sort of good thing? The California Supreme Court this week let stand an appeals court ruling that high schools can't censor their students in student media. Now, this goes against what we were just talking about.
Oh, cool.
Even if those students are stunningly, ridiculously stupid. A former Novato high school student, journalist Andrew Smith, filed a suit against the Novato Unified School District for publicly condemning two columns he wrote for The Buzz, interesting, school newspaper. Yeah, the district also tried to confiscate all copies of the piece, which he wrote in 2001. The most controversial of his columns, Smith said, the key to solving the country's illegal immigration situation is to have the police round up anyone who doesn't speak English. Quote, it can't be hard to find and detain people who can't speak English. If a person looks suspicious, then just stop them and ask a few questions. If they answer K, detain them and see if they're illegal. So he was reprimanded, and it became a cause celeb for the Pacific Legal Foundation and the ACLU. So anyway, the point is my point is this. They threw this out. I wonder what would happen if you went and did the yearbook thing and said, wait a minute, this is part, I mean, this goes against, if you get my drift.
Good.
So, I don't know, maybe not, no.
Now, down in Mount Dora, where I live, they just passed a no dog barking statue.
You know, and it was funny because they just...
gun,
what is that?
Hey, your dog's barking.
No, seriously.
it's like 5 minutes or something. They can,
right.
Five minutes? And
five
it's minutes like in a 24-hour period or something. Or 3 hours, every 3 hours or something? What is it?
What I saw was 5 minutes of continuous barking or intermittent barking that continues for more than 30 minutes gets you the civil fine.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it gets you.
It's the dog.
Interesting you should mention that. We just beefed up, as I talked about previously when they passed the first leash law, we talked about on the original Jimmy Doan show. And I said, this will, believe me, every law always institutes new laws because of the Princess Leia syndrome.
The more you tighten your grip, Tuck, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Again, there's the analogy. If you don't get it, too bad. So anyway, the deal is that I knew right away that every law breeds new laws, and usually it's like a hydra. It breeds more than one. Anyway, they tightened up again our leash law here locally, and the way they did it was to appeal to – this tip is so typical – because they brought in a 32-pound chain that would, like, chain the QE2 to the dock and said this is what they're using for the dogs in this town. And that's because they were tethering. This was called the tether law. And so you're not allowed to tether your dog now for more than about 3 hours in a 24-hour period. So interestingly enough, on the same law, part and parcel of this law, not to be separated from it, was a pig-chasing law. And they said not allowed to chase pigs. We do have I don't know if it's a state statute, but it's certainly a county statute. You're not allowed to chase greased pigs in this county. And it may be.
I'm serious. I gotta shut down my greased pig chasing.
Anyway,
business?
on the tail end of Michael Vick, of course, they did the tethering
the
thing.
Tailing.
And yeah. And they.
Hey, who brought that dog in here? Give me that taser.
So anyway, they... Anybody that leashes a dog like this is obviously raises dogs for fighting. So they sit, and of course the dog whisperers were all down there talking about how cruel this was.
the dog told me that.
Yeah, seriously. I was laying here in bed. I was ready for bed. It was about 10 o'clock at night while this thing was going on because I'm a Channel 12 junkie. And then they came to the pig thing. Turns out here in Hawthorne, they got a little festival they do. They let the 10 and 12 and 13-year-old kids chase a bunch of pigs. They're not greased because that's illegal. They're regular little piglets, about 40, 50 pounds. And it's a big charity event. They raise, $10,000 for recreation. Big party, a lot of things, for all I know, it's a barbecue when they get done with it. I don't know. but it doesn't really matter. Anyway, the pig whisperers were out there in force. And I went down there and I wanted to say, obviously this is a Hawthorne problem. It's not a county problem. But they were all down there moaning about how the pigs squealed and they were, they were scared. And I'm thinking, this pig's going to be like, have his throat slit in about a year. And if chasing him around a field is the worst thing that happens to this pig in the meantime, I wouldn't be.
That's right. Bacon.
Yeah, exactly. Homer, right. Bacon, so anyway, no, my point though on this was that, They unanimously passed a law that said no more pig chasing, and it was designed specifically for this one festival that is held one day a year for about 3 hours. That the whole law now
and sounds this, like a bill this, of attainder.
Oh no, no. Well, let me
sounds
tell you.
Like a good old boy and, law
and,
to me.
And of course, the main reason I went down there, I will have to admit, is that the get proponent paid. Of this thing was a super hot chick from Hawthorne. and she said, how it's all beneficial for the community. I'm looking at this, I think, I got to go meet this. So Jimmy got dressed, I'll tell you now, in new pants, clean pants, and clean underwear, and went down there to help out. And of course, I walked in there, and all the commissioners know me. And they say,
Jimmy?
They said, been watching Channel 12 again, have you? So I walked in there and I said something. I said, you can't do this because obviously the people that are complaining about this are from another planet because they're Vulcans if they can read this pig's mind.
Right.
I mean, this is,
right.
this, you know, and nobody Vulcans. Else can.
Right.
I mean,
and Vulcans don't have
And Vulcans
rights.
Don't have standing
right.
in this community. So, you should throw this out. Anyway, they didn't. They didn't buy that.
I tell you, they'll pass anything.
They'll pass anything. It's because they can do it.
The dog barking thing reminds me of The Merchant of Venice. I am Sir Oracle, and when I open my lips, let no dog bark.
Shakespeare, man. He knew what he was talking about.
All right, I'm down here towards the end. Did you want to talk about MacReady gets a year in prison?
That was just something. Watch out. It gets strict around here.
What about the Spectre jury?
I gotta say something about that.
7.5 impasse.
Yes, what a nice deal. You said you had a couple of questions about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is of course Phil Spector, who created the Wall of Sound, for Def Leppard and those guys. Anyway, he said that the judge said he's considering giving the jurors the option of finding the record producer guilty of a lesser charge.
Right.
And of course, there's some, I guess, some law critics in there saying, you stated first that there's no way we're going to let you get away with anything. Nothing's going to go to the jury except second degree murder. But now it's like, maybe I'll let you do it because you guys are stuck and I need a guilty plea out of
right.
this,
Yeah.
I mean, that's just wrong.
It is.
It's profiling.
It is profiling.
It's profiling. That's right. That's just wrong. Oh, by the way, he's going to be here this weekend.
Yeah, he's going to be here.
Ron White's
going to be here.
I'm actually going to that show.
All right.
Really?
I want to go.
It's Friday night.
Why don't you take one of these little Sony things just for laughs?
Yeah, right.
I was going to take a taser.
Hey, Ron, you're coming with me.
What did I do?
What did I do?
Don't tase me, bro.
Ron's going to work it into his
act. You can bet. You can bet. Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's going to walk out on stage with the taser going, Hey, Gainesville!
The way that it works is they got to announce before the trial what charges they're going to let you argue for, because both sides have to be able to argue for whatever it is.
Or against.
Right. And so, but they didn't do that. In this case, the judge actually decided today that he's not going to allow the instruction on the lesser included charge.
Okay.
So that's fine. And then the other question was about reasonable doubt.
Yeah, no, I love this. However, three jurors suggest that rereading jury instructions on the question of reasonable doubt might help. One juror asked for an explanation of the difference between reasonable doubt and doubt.
Right.
Well, it depends on the meaning of is.
Is.
Well, it's actually there. It's a subtle distinction, but it's there. It comes down to this. I call it the benefit of the doubt standard. If you can imagine a hypothesis that's consistent with innocence that you think is a reasonable
Doesn't involve mostly aliens or King
right,
and Kang
exactly,
or
exactly.
Kodos and...
King and Kodos. If, if it involves cartoon characters...
Bob Bill doesn't need that.
Yeah, that's right.
If it's reasonable, if it's believable to you, even though you don't think it actually happened, if it's a reasonable hypothesis, that's a reasonable doubt. And so it's just the benefit of the doubt standard. If there's any hypothesis consistent with innocence, you're supposed to find the person not guilty, even if you think by preponderance of the evidence that they did it. So it's a good standard and it should be maintained. It's difficult for juries to wrap their mind around though because they want to just make the call one way or the other. Either we think the guy did or we think he didn't. And that's
or we're gonna let him go anyway. OJ.
Yeah, right.
OJ.
Well, so did you say that the judge said today that he was not going to allow
allow the lesser included.
Right. Okay.
So
what happens when the jury is totally deadlocked?
New trial.
Right. The prosecution can make a motion for a new trial, and they can try them all over again if they want to, or they can just blow it off, which a lot of times they do.
What do you mean blow it off?
They can say innocent. We're not going to charge you anymore.
Right.
We don't know what they can do. I think if they get new evidence or something, they could show up again. I suppose.
Sure. Well, they don't even have to. They don't have to get new evidence. They can just make.
They can do it any time. That's the sword of Damocles hanging over your head for the rest of your life. That's when you damn sure want your passport in your hand.
Right.
And in another country.
That's right.
Exactly.
Another country. Right. And hopefully a new identity.
All right. Cue the light notes music.
Okay, I got.
We've been all over light.
We've been
notes.
All over. I didn't want to say. Hey, poer mina venerdi sferia, because in Al Qaeda. Has put a bounty on a Swedish cartoonist, so the Danish didn't get away with it. This is stunning, of course. Some guy has put out a fatwa or whatever the hell it is, and now in
fatwa,
on Sweden, it's the leader of Al Qaeda in Iraq has offered $100,000 or something, and $50,000 to the editor of the guy who recently produced images deemed to be insulting to Islam, according to a statement carried by Islamist website Saturday. Because tala lite grann svenska, I want to say hello to my friends in Norrköping and so forth. Look out, Al Qaeda is after your butts. So.
Yeah, two new Osama tapes since we did our last show, but there was nothing in those.
Nothing in those. Now the only thing I've got in this possible light notes, of course, is it was, again we're doomed.
New attorney general
doomed.
Nominated?
Huh?
Oh no, that was
doomed. Mammoth doomed. Dung, prehistoric goo may spread global warming. And here's this fairly guy's been doing it for 30 years. Zimov, a chief scientist at the Russian Academy of Science in Northeastern Scientific Station. Of course, he's out in the boondocks someplace. And apparently they've found out that with the melting of the tundra up there, that all of the mammoth dung is decomposing into tons and tons of methane, not to mention carbon dioxide, not to mention the 100 times more lethal, as far as the ozone is concerned, of methane. So, I mean, it got to stink in the tundra these days, I tell you that. And,
cheap real estate.
Oh, man, I tell you. So,
come with the nose
but it turns out the area is roughly the size of France and Germany combined. And apparently there were, like, lots of mammoths there for millions of years pooping everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it all got froze. And now it's coming unfroze. And basically this guy says, basically what he says that the Kyoto Protocol is not even going to be a pimple on the surface of the moon compared to what's going to get released, and we're doomed. So I'm saying fine.
I see Lardo wrote in, and he was saying that, you know, he was guessing that all the poop laid down by the buffalo, cattle, horses, rhinos, elephants, deer, elk, moose, mice, geese, you know, dinosaurs over the last umpteen million years is a whole lot more than the bountiful than all the
well, except poop. Except for the one thing about it. I will say the thing about it though that's different. That is, here's what's different about that.
That poop got eaten up by a bacteria.
Not only that, it was over millions of years.
Yeah.
That is to say, it took millions of years. If you unleash the equivalent of a million years of mammoths in 10 years,
right?
That's different from a million mammoths in a million years.
But I mean, so you're saying that, okay, because the mammoths were living on the ice, so every time they poop, it would just freeze.
Right.
That's what these guys are saying.
When the meteor hit, all the mammoths took a big crap.
Yeah. And you can know they did, too. No, they said, this
holy shit.
This is the origination of the of the word holy shit. God damn, did you see that? No, that would be... No, they do say that when you get electrocuted, apparently there's that happens sometimes.
That's what I asked Meyer.
The point is, though, that what they're talking about is basically, you know, a million years of poop being released in a short time. The buffalo that he's talking about and cows and mooses and everything that Lardo was talking about, that gets absorbed as you go along. That's fine. You know, you can deal with that. Yes, it might have been more, but it was over that that time span. If you get my drift. Did I make myself unclear?
You did. No,
okay,
no,
that's
good. It. Done.
Got
it.
So did you hear about the man who was arrested when after he called Immigration Customs Enforcement about his lost cocaine?
Oh, yeah, what he was trying to—he's trying to avoid being shot.
He was pretty much—he was actually back and forth from Canada to Seattle. He was get this—he was—he was a known Leroy Carr is his name, pretty much a known drug smuggler. They had questioned this character several times, coming back and forth from the Canadian border and that night vision goggles, GPS, also coordinates for a well-known drug smuggler. They knew this guy was, but they couldn't do anything about it. Until he decided to call him and said, "Hey, I seem to have misplaced 70 pounds of my cocaine. Have you seen it?"
Yeah.
And sure enough, man, they
68 pounds. Well, what he wanted them to do was put out a press release saying that the federal agents had seized the drugs. That way, the people that he got the drugs for or from
could find it.
Right. Well, wouldn't kill him.
Right, exactly.
I mean, because obviously, if you start off with 70 on one side of the border and end up with zero on the other side, there's a price on your head.
Yeah.
And the only way to avoid it is to go to jail.
So guess who found it? A good old Boy Scout.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Found the two backpacks. He did a couple bumps.
Found all 60
and then, he called the police.
That's right.
And said, "This is good."
And of course, the guy was claiming 70 pounds lost, and the Boy Scout recovered 68.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's amazing how that works.
Yep, that's right.
The Boy Scout's retired now. I got a new badge.
Yep. All right. We got
cocaine recovery badge.
That's right.
Cocaine recovery badge.
Hell yeah.
It's
all white.
It's right next to my square grouper fishing
badge. That's right. That's right. No, it's all white.
How about
you can spot it right out there. It's got a straw in it.
Yeah.
The drunk lunatic ex-boyfriend or whatever gets trapped in the chimney. You know, the girlfriend locks him out, locks everything out. Go away. Done with your psycho ass.
He puts his psycho ass in the chimney.
he tries to slide down the chimney and then gets stuck.
He forgot the vegetable oil.
Yeah. So,
I'm surprised she didn't light one up under him.
That's right. She tried. She was as they were taking away, she was throwing bottles at him and everything. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, here's a light note. New Attorney General nominated. We'll get to that next time. I haven't checked the guy out.
All right, a man wearing nothing but a hat tried to rob a convenience store in Pennsylvania. 24-year-old man.
And now, how would you like it if you had to be in the lineup? I mean, hell no, I'm not going against that. And of course, the girl says, "Ooh, that's him."
Yeah,
and I'll take him home.
He was a known nudist. Apparently, he stood in his in front of his window regularly, nude. So. Had been arrested before an accusation of exposure.
I recognized him.
Yes,
yeah, I recognized him. That's
so
right.
Apparently wasn't too big of a deal. All right, what else?
I'm done.
That's it?
Yeah, we're done.
It was
a good show.
Yeah.
It's a fun show.
101, wasn't it?
101, 101, that's it.
That's right, we made it.
We made it, past the century mark.
Call, email, write us.
Yeah, right. Drop a note.
Carrier pigeon.
That's right. We respond to most of the stuff. But yeah, if you leave us something we can play, you know, we can
we'll do it.
At 866-95 Jimmy. It still works.
Yeah,
that's right.
And of course, I'd forgotten to I told him to ring it through a couple hours a week, and that's when Jack Rhodes calls me up. He was going to leave a message, and I answered the damn phone. Jimmy Doan, he's sitting there going, What happened?
Some people ask me who the little girl was in the beginning. That was, of course, Graham and Graham's fabulous wife Tracy's little daughter Hannah. So,
awesome. Oh, those are great.
Yeah,
those
they were awesome.
Hellos. I really enjoyed it. Okay, well anyway, we'll see you then shortly. We're probably going to do another show before Jimmy goes to Honduras.
Yeah, you're going to win the next.
I'm going October 6th for a month, but I'll see if I can phone in. But I'm going to be in some place. Yeah, I don't know. We'll try and see if I can do a Skype.
Need to get a phone thingy, or something.
Right here, I got it right here. I'll have to set it up.
Yeah. A little motivation for you there.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you. And libertarianforum.com.
Yeah, libertarianforum. Don't forget that. Right.
Yep.
Good. It's a really good website.
It is. It's
even better than ours. Hard to believe.
Yep.
Although we got. although we have better links. I think.
That's right.
Don't we?
No, not nearly as many. Sausage links.
That keeps your mojo working at the Jimmy Doan Show.
Sound like Jack Rose.
Now it's the Jack Rose Show. Hey, welcome to the Jack Rose Show. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Jimmy Doan Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of the Jimmy Doan Show.
Yaddy-ho! Yaddy-ho!